From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, August 18, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting in the Daily Mail that a hand-painted wooden statue of a literary character, Rip Van Winkle, has been stolen from Wayside Park in Haines Falls. The Van Winkle image was installed in the park about a month ago. The theft occurred sometime over the weekend. The 7 to 8 foot piece was reported missing on Monday, August 15th, by Dee Dee Turns Thorpe, the town of Hunter's historian. She said the statue was constructed by a local resident and it stood in the center of the park. Turns Thorpe said, and I quote, "He sort of greeted people in the town. Just bring it back, no questions asked," end quote. Van Winkle, the character created by early 19th century writer, essayist, and historian Washington Irving, is an enduring symbol of the Catskill region. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Carrie Allen is reporting in the Chatham Courier that the Chatham Town Board continues to search for ways to close its recently discovered budget gap. At a recent public meeting, Town Board member Bob Balcom presented some recommendations on behalf of the Citizens Finance and Planning Committee for the board's consideration. At the top of the list, conversion of the existing Town Hall Reserve Fund to a new fund dedicated to pension payment support that would save the town $79,000 a year for the next 2 years, Balcom said. The committee also recommended the town consider reducing the number of members of both the Planning Board and the Zoning Board of Appeals from 7 to 5. The committee recommended members of those boards be paid less per meeting as well. Other recommendations included consolidating the town's assessment services with Columbia County and privatizing the code enforcement office and town property maintenance. The board last month also discussed the possibility of hiring a deputy sheriff to patrol the Taconic State Parkway and other areas of town to both increase safety and cut down on speeding. According to press accounts at the time, the board also saw the enforcement plan as a way to generate revenue, an idea received poorly by several town residents. You can read that full story in the Chatham Courier. Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting in the Register Star that the Columbia County Public Defender's Office has received the funding needed to keep its investigator on staff. Public Defender Robert Linville said the $150,000 grant from the New York State Office of Indigent Legal Services will help the office strengthen its investigative arm. The investigative position was created in 2013 and now continues through 2017. Linville said, and I quote, "The grant ensures continued rigorous investigation surrounding arrest," end quote. Investigator Stephen Barron is a licensed private investigator and a former law enforcement officer. He served as an assistant under former Columbia County Attorney Beth Cozzolino. As an investigator working on behalf of those facing criminal charges, Barry interviews clients and is responsible for identifying and locating witnesses for trial. He also serves subpoenas and court documents. The Public Defender's Office has an annual budget of $1.1 million and employs 7 assistant public defenders. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Michael Ryan in the Watershed Post reports that Lexington Broadband Initiative co-chairman Bonnie Blatter is frustrated that Lexington was left out of the New York Broadband Program recent announcement of $54.2 million in financial assistance to small telephone and internet providers across the state. The mountainous town boasted a, and I quote, "a broadband pep rally," end quote, last year to put a spotlight on Lexington's lack of internet connectivity. The organization and the town's officials have hoped for a $1.5 million grant to help lay 76 miles of fiber optic cable to service 90% of the town's residents. Now Lexington is wondering if it's eligible to apply for the next round. Warren Hart, the Greene County Economic Development, Tourism, and Planning Director, said, and I quote, "We don't have an answer yet. Nobody does," end quote. Greene County has among the worst percentage of broadband coverage in the state. You can read that full story in the Watershed Post. Scott Waldman at Politico New York reports that U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, documents obtained by the new organization show that a large company that transports crude through New York violated federal clean air standards at its transportation facility in Albany. The EPA issued a notice to Global Companies LLC last month, and the company could face fines of more than $25,000 a day for intentionally underreporting air emissions after it was given permission to almost quadruple the amount of crude it could transport through Albany. Global reported an increase in air emissions of 39.5 tons per year of volatile organic compounds, just under the 40-ton limit that would trigger more regulation. The story says, and I quote, "The EPA determined the amount Global reported was far less than what it was actually emitting," end quote. But it did not say just how many tons of pollutants went into the air. Global also wants to add a crude oil heater that would allow it to bring in thick tar sands to Albany, but the State Department of Environmental Conservation is in a legal battle with the company, and no decision on the issue is expected soon. You can read that full story in Politico New York. CBS 6 TV in Albany reports that a new audit found, and I quote, "significant deficiency," end quote, in the way that the $22 million was spent promoting tourism in areas recovering from Hurricane Irene in 2011. The Department of Housing and Urban Development's Office of Inspector General said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration did not comply with procurement rules and did not ensure money was spent effectively. Cuomo's Office of Storm Recovery disagreed with the audit's findings. Locally, Prattsville was the town hit hardest by the storms surrounding Hurricane Irene. You can read that full story at CBS 6 TV in Albany. Matthew Hamilton in the Albany Times-Union reports that on August the 16th, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill requiring courts to consider prior intoxicated and impaired driving convictions when sentencing someone for intoxicated or impaired boating. The bill's justification memo states, and I quote, "Those who repeatedly violate intoxicated operation laws should not be given leniency because they have reoffended in a boat versus a car," end quote. The law goes into effect on November the 1st. You can read that full story in the Albany Times-Union. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting isolated showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. today. It will be partly sunny with a high near 85 degrees. For Thursday night, scattered showers mainly before 7 p.m. There will be patchy fog between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a low around 64. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, patchy fog between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 83 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 62. And on Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. It will be sunny with a high near 86 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 67. Sunrise today was at 6.07 a.m. and the sun will set at 7.50 p.m., providing us with 13 hours and 43 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 18th day of August, 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.